Morning. Please turn with me to 1 John 1, verse 4. 1 John 1, verse 4. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to look into your word. We pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, we pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that in all things you will get the preeminence. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Sometimes happiness and joy are used interchangeably. On the surface, happiness and joy are similar. They are both uplifting and blissful experiences. Yet, there are more differences than similarities. Happiness is an emotion that is self-focused. It is selfish. It is satisfying our needs and wants to make us contented. It is trying to satisfy the flesh, which cannot be satisfied. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:17 that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The spirit and the flesh are in constant conflict with each other. But happiness is temporary and subjective to our circumstances and moods. How often do you characterize someone as being moody? When your boss gives you a hard time on the job, you are not happy. When your new car gets a dent, you are not happy. When you are broke and you can't pay your bills, you are not happy. Happiness quickly leaves us when we fail to attain our goals. Now joy, true joy, is not self-focused. It is not selfish. Joy is a spiritual result of our focus on God. It is related to our salvation and our walk with Christ. Joy is a permanent gift from God, and therefore can never be stolen from us. As Christians, our joy can never be completely destroyed, though there are things that can diminish it. It is a gift that we must nurture and protect on a daily basis. We can always find joy in our salvation, because our salvation. The moment we accept Christ as our Savior, our joy begins. Luke 15:7 tells us that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Let's go back to 1 John 1 and 4. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. 1 John is an epistle with an overall theme, the fundamentals of Christianity. John realized that the world is not capable of providing true and lasting joy. This joy can only come through a proper relationship with the Lord. When a person is in fellowship with God, with the Lord Jesus, he or she has a deep-seated joy that cannot be disturbed by earthly circumstances. The apostle deals with certainties and not opinions, such as a person is a child of God, or he is not a child of God. There is no middle ground. 1 John is written from the heart of a pastor who has concern for his people. He desired the Lord's people to have joy regarding the certainty of their faith, rather than being upset by the false teaching and circumstances around them. John 15:9-11. As the Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you would abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The love which the Savior has for us is the same love of the Father for the Son. Just as Jesus maintained his obedience to the Father was the basis of his joy, believers who are obedient to the Lord's commandments will experience the same joy. One of the greatest threats to our joy is disobedience to God's word. When we live in disobedience, we become fruitless Christians without joy. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain attached to the vine for nourishment. If the branch is not attached to the vine, it will wither up and die. John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. The center of our joy is our relationship with God. Anything that stands between us and our Savior corrodes our joy. We all will face hardships in life. We may lose our job, death of loved ones, sick family members, etc. The Apostle Paul was no stranger to hardships. He was criticized, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned. 2 Corinthians 11 and 24 to 31 is a partial list of some of the hardships that Paul endured. Through all of this, Paul has something to say in Philippians 1, 18 and 19. It says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, Philippians is one of the prison epistles, along with Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. The Apostle Paul knew how to maintain his joy by focusing on Christ instead of his circumstances. Paul did not feel sorry for himself or seek sympathy from others. Although he was in prison, he was glad that the gospel was proclaimed, despite the motives of some of the preachers. He knew that he would be delivered through prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4, 10 to 12, I'll read it from the NIV. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content. And in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul learned that wherever he was, or in whatever situation, circumstances he found himself, he was there by divine appointment. And that was a reason for him to rejoice. The Greek word chara means to rejoice and to be full of joy. And rejoice or joy is over and over in the book of Philippians. Let us turn to Psalm 51 and let's see what happened to David's joy. Now, Psalm 51 is an interesting psalm. In verse 12, David asked the Lord to restore to me the joy of your salvation. What happened to his joy? In 2 Samuel 11, David committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, one of his loyal soldiers. That relationship led to Bathsheba's pregnancy and David's attempted cover-up. David had killed Uriah in battle so he can then marry Bathsheba. He didn't think anyone would know of his misdeeds, but God knows. In 2 Samuel 11:21, we read, "But the thing David had done displeased the Lord." In 2 Samuel 12, the prophet Nathan confronted David about his sin, and David confessed in Psalm 51. Now let's take a look at the first 12 verses of Psalm 51. It is a prayer of repentance. Verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." Verse 5. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me know, you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." You know, Old Testament priests used to use the hyssop plant to sprinkle blood or water on a person being cleansed from defilements such as leprosy. Here David is longing to be spiritually cleansed from his sins. In forgiveness, God washes away sin. Verse 8, "Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." David is feeling guilty here. "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take the Holy Spirit from me." In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit usually came upon a person to enable them to perform a certain act. If the Holy Spirit was removed from David, it will mean that he will be rejected by God as king, in the same way God had rejected Saul and removed the Spirit from him. Verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." The time between David's sin and the time that the prophet Nathan confronted him were months, because the child now was already born. During that time, David suffered inner torment. You read about his torment in Psalm 32. Despite all the efforts David took to suppress what he did not, nor could he ever experience joy in the cover-up. However, once he confessed his sin to God, he received forgiveness, and his joy was full. When David pleads with God to restore to me the joy of your salvation, he is asking for the fellowship with God that he once knew and enjoyed. David could not enjoy fellowship while he had unconfessed sin. Acts 13:22, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." Despite his sin, David is considered a man after God's own heart. David was not perfect, but his heart was pointed to God. And we see that in a number of examples. In 1 Samuel 17:37, David acknowledged that the Lord would deliver him from the hand of the Philistines. In Psalm 119:47, David delights himself in the Lord's commandments and acknowledges his love for God's law. Of the 150 Psalms in the Bible, David wrote more than half of them. In Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. In 2 Samuel 12:13, David repents. He tells the prophet Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." David was a man after God's own heart because he demonstrated his faith and was committed to following the Lord. He failed at times, but he sought the Lord's forgiveness. Today, we can lose the joy of our salvation. We will not lose our salvation. Sin will never separate the believer from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But it can rob us of our joy and the sweet fellowship with our Savior. Joy does not mean that we will not experience frustration or pain when everything seems to go wrong. But unlike happiness, we can find joy in the midst of our suffering. It is so easy to cover our joy with anxieties and distractions of the world, and to take our eyes off Christ, thus affecting our relationship with Him. Brethren, don't let the trials of life diminish our joy. Our joy will remain full when Christ is the center of our lives. Our joy will remain full when His glory is our goal. Our joy will remain full when we refuse to be intimidated by life's obstacles. Our joy will remain full when we live totally for Christ in obedience. We will find a joy that will carry us through the darkest hours. If you are here this morning or on Zoom, you might be searching for a joy that will last forever. Everything you tried seems to be temporary or short-lived. Well, I want to invite you to taste the joy that will make you full, even when times are tough and uncertain. Jesus is the answer. He is the answer to all your problems. And Jesus will give you a joy that is everlasting. You can speak to one of us or to the person who invited you to the Zoom broadcast, and you'll be directed from God's word how you could obtain this everlasting joy. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the time we spent around your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray, Lord, that your word has fallen on good soil for each and every one of us who grow thereby. We pray for those who might be searching for this everlasting joy. We pray, Lord, that you will trouble their heart consistently, Lord, so they can seek this everlasting joy. Now as we depart, Lord, we go to our respective destinations, we pray, Lord, that you take us there in peace and in safety. We pray this in Jesus' precious name.